I think the critical piece of the program is that oftentimes after a program, whether it be a six-month program or however long it may be, we'll return that inmate either directly to the streets and reentry, where there is follow-up care with treatment, transportation, housing, et cetera. But in the facility, the missing piece has been any aftercare, that continuum of care. So making certain that they have the proper mentorship upon completion of treatment, because that's not the end of the road. This is a lifelong mission for them to remain clean and sober. And it takes continued treatment for the rest of their lives to do this. And so while they're in our care, if we were to return them to the general population and to the stresses and strains of that without this continuum and this model of aftercare, we often fail them in that way. So while the inmate is in our care in one of our facilities, I think it's critical that we keep them in a model of care and in this type of treatment through an aftercare model that will be the key difference maker. And then upon reentry, when they return, again, 95% of all those who serve, the 24,000 who serve in our state prison today, will return home. So it's critical that they return home equipped to lead a clean and sober life and keep from having to come back to one of our facilities.
Mm-hmm. You were asked about the expansion of this program. You got to, of course, see how it goes and assess it. But I guess how realistic is it to expand to other facilities?
Well, I mean, the cost of this one, we've got, a $300,000 grant. I think we're penny wise and pound foolish if we don't seize upon the opportunity to work out the kinks in this pilot program and then scale this up and provide it to every one of our facilities. It is a modest cost. At the end of this fiscal year, we'll spend $650 million on corrections, and most of that, again, well over 90 cents of every dollar, well over 90 cents of every dollar just goes to housing, really warehousing. And we've got to scale everything up to where we are returning individuals to communities which will enhance public safety. There's less chance of a return. They can return to their families. They can return to being parents and return to being productive members of society. Again, turning tax burdens into taxpayers in ways that we've never seen. And without that, I think we're wasting money if we don't invest in programs like this one.
You said cautiously that the overdose deaths have come down somewhat. Well, over what period of time?
Well, over the last year, we have seen, and the last peek I took into that was about a month ago. And again, I say this without any official results and very cautiously, that they were at some point over the last several weeks, we were trending to be 20% down. Well, while most states are trending upward and the national numbers continue to trend upward. And so we're very cautiously optimistic that number could change because it doesn't sit still. I mean, these things don't, sadly, they don't play by the rules. And so we could see an uptick, but we are cautiously optimistic that our overdose death numbers will be down. And that's a great indicator. We know that our overall prescriptions over the past decade, because of legislation and because of policy that we put in place, really since about 2012, they've been down significantly, and that's also a good indicator.